good morning to you all. It's so good to see you in the Lord's house today. And this morning we will be participating in the communion service, remembering our Lord. We'll do that right before the message this morning. In our call to worship, I want to draw your attention to Proverbs chapter 11 in our call to worship. And I want you to listen as I read two verses of Scripture beginning at verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. It's interesting here in these verses of Scripture, it's speaking about the fact that God calls us to give. You know, our God is a giving God. He bestows upon us blessings every day of our lives, the air we breathe, the common grace that's distributed to all human beings, the supply of rain, food that is provided. But God speaks specifically here about the one who is willing to give out of what they have to others. You know, we're being called upon more and more, especially with all the storms that we have in our state, to give and to help. And it's a good thing for us to do that. But we need to find out ways in which we can assist and we can help to lighten the burdens that other people are enduring. We enjoyed that whenever we suffered with hurricanes. People showing up out of the blue. We had a check that arrived from a church in North Carolina that just said, we just want to help out. We had others that sent money in, or people that showed up on campus. We had one of our grandparents, had a boy in school, a grandson in school, shows up with his tractor and starts hauling, you know, trees and so forth. You know, those are people with liberal soul. They want to help. And that's liberal in a good sense, all right? Not liberal in the sense of wanting to do things that are contrary to God's Word, but rather wanting to give and to help. And so I want to encourage you in that regard. If you've not done so, would you find some way to help? There's all kinds of things that you can do these days with the availability of being able to give online. There's really little reason not to. And so there's lots of good ways to give in which you can help a Christian ministry or help a family that's going through difficulty. Or just send them a little bit or send them a gift card or send them something to encourage them at this time. That means all the difference in the world. For this passage says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. There's a way in which God returns the blessing to you. And so don't you want to be a part of God's blessings? That means that I've got to be outside of my own little world. I've got to look outside. Well, the storm didn't hit me. Okay. We'll remember that next time. That kind of mentality. We need to reach out and we need to be a blessing to others during these times. And so may the Word of God encourage us. The person that withholds corn is not looked on with favor. Matter of fact, they're cursed for not giving. And so we don't want to be that kind of people. We want to be a giving people. And so I encourage you, if you don't know how to, I'll be glad to give you ways in which you can do so and to help out those that are in need at this particular time.
Get our singing this morning with number 453. Take your hymn books, please, and turn to 453. We want to sing, Teach Me Thy Way, O Lord, as we've gathered to hear the word of the Lord today, to know His thoughts and His way, number 453. Let's stand together to sing.
Thank you.
remain standing for prayer this morning.
Let us pray. Our precious Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that we have to gather together today to worship you, to sing these wonderful praises of adoration to you, for you alone are worthy. We pray, Father, that you would indeed teach us thy way today as we gather, as we open your word. I pray that we would be instructed concerning your Son, Jesus Christ, concerning the great truths of your word. And I pray that we would leave here better equipped to be faithful witnesses for thee. Lord, we think today of those that are not able to be with us because of sickness. We pray that you would grant healing to them. We think of Brother John and his recovery from surgery on his left ear. We ask, Father, that you would relieve his pain at this time and that you would encourage him and that you might restore the hearing in his left ear. And then we think of Brother Mike and for his wife, Sharon. We pray for Brother Mike as he recovers from the cataract surgery that he had this week. We pray that you would restore his vision in his left eye. And then as he prepares to have the right eye done, we pray that you would work out. This is the most difficult one, the one that he has the most problems with. And we just pray that you would undertake for him. And then for Sister Sharon, as she is battling difficulties with her leg and her knee, we just pray that you would grant healing to them. We think of others, dear Father, that are not able to be with us today because of sickness. We just pray that you would grant healing to them. We think, Father, of our missionaries that are serving you around the world. Some are in very difficult places of service. Some are in places where there's great hardness to the gospel. We just pray that the Holy Spirit of God would encourage, would draw precious souls unto your blessed name. And we pray, Father, that you would encourage your saints that are serving you around the world. We think of the Frasers in the Philippines and their ministry there north of Manila. We pray for their orphanage and for the Bible college there and for the church ministry. We pray that you would continue to bless them and encourage them and that precious souls would be saved, but also the discipleship of hundreds of boys and girls and people of their church. We just ask, Father, that you would encourage and strengthen. We think about the Jamesons in England today, and we pray, Father, for them as they minister the gospel in their evening service now. We pray that you would encourage them, and we thank you, Father, for their willingness to go to a place, a very difficult place, to minister your word, and we pray that you would just strengthen them in their ministry. We think of many others that are serving thee around the world today. We would just ask for your special care for them and provision of their every need. Lord, we think about those that have been affected by the hurricane this past week in South Florida. And we think about those from the previous Hurricane Helene up in Georgia and South Carolina, Tennessee, and North Carolina. Thousands of people that have been displaced, people that are having difficulty finding food. We just pray that you would just flood them with your grace and mercy and that you would provide for them. Lord, we know that there is a desperate need for housing. We just ask, Father, that you would undertake for them. And for those Christian ministries, those churches that were completely wiped out and Christian schools that have had to close their doors because of not having a place for the kids to come back to, we would ask, Father, that you would pave the way and open up opportunities for them to be able to find other locations so that your work can continue on. And Father, we pray that you would bless this service today. I pray that you would receive our praise and adoration as we enter into communion. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we would indeed remember you, realizing that you are indeed risen from the grave bodily, that you're at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us this morning. And we pray, dear Father, that we might also remember that you're coming again, that the trump will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet you in the air. We ask, dear Father, that you would work in our hearts, and may that remembrance be real and genuine and precious to us, your children. We ask these things now in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You may be seated as you turn over now to number 480. Number 480, only one life to offer. 480, all three verses.
Thank you.
Turn to number 220. We're thankful for this truth that no one ever cared for us like the Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. Number 220.
If ever I so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Amen. And God's people said, amen. Beautiful hymn. At this time, I'm going to ask the men to come and that are assigned today for our communion. They're going to begin the process of handing out the elements to each of you. We practice open communion here at Grace Bible Church. All believers in Christ are encouraged to participate. You don't have to be a member of the church to be able to do this. But I'd like for you to take your Bibles. And let's turn together to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul spent a great deal of time with the Corinthians to encourage them concerning communion with the Lord. And there were some problems in the church. As a matter of fact, verses 17 through 22 indicate that they were turning this communion service into a big feast and meal, and we're missing the whole point of remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're told in this passage what they were to do. They were to participate in partaking of the elements and to drink the juice, but then they were to examine themselves. They were encouraged to look inwardly. As they were about to look upwardly unto the Lord, they were encouraged to look inwardly and examine themselves before the Lord. And so we're going to take just a few moments here as the men hand out the elements here to go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to work in our hearts, that He would cleanse whatever sin might be there, that we might be able to remember Him with a pure heart. And so I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, please, in prayer as the men continue to come around. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Father in heaven, we thank You for this very special time in which we can remember the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the One who loved us before the foundation of the world, the One in whom we are changed and transformed by the gospel, the One who makes us into His glorious image. And we pray to Heavenly Father that as we remember Him today, we might also be reminded that You are coming again. And I pray, dear Father, that we might live every day, every hour, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Father, we look inwardly at this moment, and we would ask that You would deliver us with a sin that perhaps may be in our hearts, impure thoughts, things that do not bring glory and praise to the name of Jesus Christ. I would ask, dear Father, that You might purge us and cleanse us. As the psalmist cried out, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." And I pray as we partake of the elements that we might do so with a desire to honor Thee and to glorify Thy wondrous and precious name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me." For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. May the Lord bless this time of communion. May the Lord encourage us all as we leave this service, not to forget the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather to remember Him in our conversations. Do I hear an amen? Remember Him whenever we see our neighbor. Remember Him whenever we pick up the phone and talk to somebody. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ, because He alone is worthy. He alone deserves to be remembered. I want you to take your Bibles now and let's turn together to the passage that We're going to be studying together today in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. I'm going to begin a new series that picks up where I left off back at the beginning of this year. I've done a Sunday school series in chapters 13 and 14, kind of encompassing the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. And I want to pick up in chapter 15 and begin the second missionary journey. And I've entitled this, How God Leads. How God Leads. I want us to focus, beginning at verse 36, this following a very important meeting in Jerusalem to take up the issue of whether Gentiles should be circumcised or not. It was an issue that had become something of a major event. There were people that were attacking Paul. They were attacking Barnabas. These Gentiles were coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And there were people that were saying, these Gentiles must be circumcised. They must keep the law. And it had grown to such great contention, we learned at the beginning of chapter 15, that they gathered together in Jerusalem to hear about what they should do. Look at verse 1 of chapter 15 very quickly. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be what? Saved. Now what were they doing? By the way, this is the true definition of legalism. There's a false definition that's going around today of legalism, but this is the true definition. That the keeping of the law is how we are saved. And the Apostle Paul was preaching the message of grace. You can't keep the law. I can't keep the law. The Jewish nation couldn't keep the law. As a matter of fact, this comes out in this very important meeting in Jerusalem. James gets up. Peter gets up. And basically says, our nation has never kept the law. And we want the Gentiles to somehow keep the law and be saved? What was the wrong assumption? The wrong assumption was we're saved because we keep the law. These Gentiles cannot be saved unless they keep the law. That is the definition of legalism. Saying you have to keep the law in order to be saved. Now, whenever we understand the truth of grace and that Jesus Christ has come and He has completely fulfilled the law. Do I hear an amen this morning? Think about that. Every jot and every tittle of the law has been taken care of in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I need His righteousness. That's the message of grace. God has made His righteousness available to you and to me. That's Jew and Gentile alike. It's not about going and being circumcised. It's not about keeping all the elements of the law and that way I'll earn my salvation before God. No, that's not how it happens. So this Council of Jerusalem would be extremely important. Extremely important. What came out of that meeting? James gets up, we read, in this passage of Scripture, after Peter speaks. Notice, please, beginning at verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel. Now he's talking about back in Acts chapter 10 when he spoke to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile. And while Peter is preaching, he didn't even get through his 3 points. While he is preaching, the Holy Ghost begins to come upon those Gentiles. And Peter is stunned. This has not happened before. People are receiving the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they're believing. They're believing. And they're being wonderfully transformed by the Holy Spirit, and He's coming and indwelling them. And Peter says, well, I suppose we should baptize these new believers. He didn't know what to do. So Peter now says to these men that are gathered there in Jerusalem, God used me to minister the gospel to Gentiles, and they were saved. Let's go on. God giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Now, think about that for just a moment. We're going to go put a burden on them, the Gentiles, and a burden we couldn't even bear ourselves. You know what Peter's doing? He's being honest. He's being honest. Oh, how we need honesty today. We've got all kinds of dishonesty and twisting and perverting the Scriptures and so forth like that to make it fit our narrative. But Peter gets up and he says, the children of Israel couldn't keep the law. And yet we're going to tell the Gentiles, you must be circumcised. You must keep the law in order to be saved. So he's coming out on the right side, amen. He's coming out on the side of grace instead of law. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord, verse 11, the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. So now he makes it personal with the Jews. He's talking to the Jewish element here. He said, these Gentiles have been saved. We are saved the same way. Belief in Jesus Christ. Receiving His free gift of righteousness. That's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are saved even as they. You think this is an important meeting? This is consequential. This is going to affect what's about to happen as Paul and Silas and Barnabas and Mark go back and visit the churches that they had visited on the first missionary journey. And we mapped out that whole big circle, how they went through and witnessed of Christ, people were saved, and then they got persecuted, and then they went back to visit all those churches again as they made their way back to Antioch. Now, in verse 36 of chapter 15, Barnabas continued at Antioch teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. You know what that is? That's discipleship. That's discipleship. We're going to go back and we're going to visit. Now something happens and we're going to get into that. The Lord's going to make two missionary crews. It's going to involve some heat. Is that okay? Yeah. It's going to involve some heat, but both teams are going to be used of God in the ministry of evangelism and discipleship, as we're going to see. So, we get up and James begins to speak. Verse 13, and after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared, that's Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So we see these things that are put forth of the Gentiles so they can be effective witnesses to the Jews that are in these cities that they're going to visit. That was the reason. Abstain from things strangled. Abstain from blood. Why? Oh, they're trying to put a bunch of restrictions on the people. No! They want to reach the Jews and the Gentiles with the gospel. So they're taking away things that would offend so that the gospel could be focused on and the people would hear the truth of Jesus Christ without being offended by these Gentiles that didn't check all the boxes. You see what I'm saying? That's what Paul said when he said, I'm all things to all men. You're not going to see in me offensive things that are going to become a wall between you and Jesus Christ. I think we need to consider this for just a moment. We've got folks that we need to be a witness to, but sometimes we can be offensive by our attitudes, by the things that we do, and we're not careful. We're not thinking about Christ. We're thinking about my liberty. Your liberty should never trample upon the evangelism and discipleship of people that need to know Christ. That's what this passage, that's what this meeting is all about. James, a Jewish man, says, we're going to ask you to do these things. Go back over it again. What he says here. All we ask is that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. Why? For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. They were concerned about the Jews that needed to come to faith in Jesus Christ, and he didn't want to have anything that would cause them to turn away from the message of the gospel. This is foresight. This is being concerned for the lost of the house of Israel, concerned for the lost that were in Gentile areas. He wanted to communicate the gospel, and they didn't want to be offensive in other things that would cause people to turn away from Christ. Do you live in such a way that turn people to Christ? Or do you live in such a way that people don't listen because they're offended by how you act and by how you talk and by how you live? I had an opportunity this past week to minister to someone that I hadn't seen in a while out here at the ballpark. And she has her grandchildren in the program. I knew her in the early days with her children and so forth. And we got talking about the things of the Lord. I hadn't seen her probably in 15, 16 years or so. We got talking about the things of the Lord. And the Lord just began to work, and I began to share, you know, what God's been doing in this ministry and what God does in hearts and lives and things of that nature. And she said to me, you know, I haven't been up here in a while. We actually moved out of state. We just have come back to be around our grandkids and so forth like that. But she said, you know, whenever I come on this campus, there's something different about this place. There's something different about this place. She said, I really don't know how to put it in words. And I said, well, I pray. My prayer is that the difference is Christ is preeminent. And the difference is we depend upon the Holy Spirit of God. Not doing our own things. Not exercising all of my liberties. Everything I want to do, I can do. There are some things where wisdom steps in and says, oh, wait a minute. These people need Christ. These people need to see me. Are they seeing just me, or are they seeing Christ? That's a huge thing. And that's what that meeting produced. It produced a missionary group that went out on the second missionary journey, and there were several people that went on this, and we're going to look at how God leads. Because God brought about some tension. He allowed some tension to take place to separate and make two teams. I don't know that I've ever really thought this through, but the Lord just really impressed this upon me about what God did with Paul and Barnabas. You remember on the first missionary trip, they took John Mark with them. They made it over to Cyprus and Pamphylia, and something happened with John Mark, and he returned back home. Let's look, please, beginning at verse 36, and some days after this big meeting, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." So let's go back. Let's go back. Some time has gone by. Let's go back and encourage them. Let's go back and disciple these believers and evangelize new folks that are there. And then notice what happens. Verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now this is the one that had left on the first missionary trip, had come back home. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now we look at that and said, oh, this is bad. This is bad. Two brothers getting in a dispute between each other. But I want to talk to you about how God leads. Do you realize that Paul and Silas are able to go to a region and communicate the gospel, visit the churches that they had visited on that, and Barnabas and John Mark were able to go and visit those cities in Cilicia and Pamphylia again? And by the way, I've been guilty of this. I've been guilty in repeating this phrase, and Barnabas rides out of Scripture. He doesn't. That's not true. He's mentioned on four more occasions in the Scripture, and we're going to look at that in our study together. We're going to see that Barnabas is still used of God. He and John Mark are able to evangelize and disciple. And toward the end, Paul says, bring John Mark with you. Bring John Mark with you. He'll be valuable to us. So what was a heated dispute between these two godly men ended up creating two teams, and they were able to still serve God together. Different locations, serving God together. You say, can people serve God together and be in different locations? Absolutely. Absolutely. This is so important, I think, to us today. We have differences of opinion. We have differences that arise. But do you know what? That God can even work through differences of opinion? I've seen this so many times. I've seen growing up in this ministry where there'd be differences of opinion and different individuals would leave and go to different places and then God used them in a mighty way. I remember our former assistant pastor when I was a kid who ended up going and planting a church over in Panama City. And God is using that same church today. I remember different individuals that left at certain times and God used them to plant Christian schools in North Carolina and South Florida. And things were able to be done by the division leading to multiplication. Sometimes God has bigger plans than we do. And I think we need to understand that. God has bigger plans than we do. Now, maybe at the time, Paul and Barnabas, you know, not seeing eye to eye and disputing, and it got heated, thought things about each other. We're not told what that was. We're just told that they went their separate ways, but they don't write out of Scripture. They're there. They're working. God's working through them. This division led to multiplication. And this is what I'm going to point out on how God works. How God works in ministries, in lives. Things that we would look at and say, oh, this is bad. This is horrible. Became something that was good and a blessing. That Barnabas and Paul probably were able to look back on in the future and say, wow, how God has worked. Great things He hath done. Even in the midst of a dispute. Now, I want us to think for just a moment today about this thought that's given to us here in verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. I want to finish up with that phrase, see how they do. What is that? That's concern. Concern for new believers. How are they doing? You know, we always check up on people that are sick and ask them, how are you doing now? How are you doing? We got a hold of Janet to find out how Brother John was doing this week. Called Mike and talked to he and Sharon about how he was doing after his surgery. We do that because we're concerned for their health. And one of the purposes of a local church is to not only see folks saved, but also see them grow in the Lord. And Paul was burdened, and I think Barnabas was burdened, for those that had been saved in their first missionary trip, and the burden to see how they are doing. This is before the days of social media. You know, it's a wonderful thing. This morning I messaged on Telegram to Michelle and was going back and forth. She's on the other side of the world. It's nighttime there. Here it is in the morning time. We're able to message people. We're able to talk to people. Talked to Leon yesterday. Talking to different individuals around the world. But here back in these days, you had to make a real effort. You had to get back on the ship and make your way across the sea, Mediterranean, to get back over to the Aegean so you could get on land and start walking, making your way to these other churches. It was a big deal to see how they're doing. We need to, as believers in Christ, step up our discipleship. We need to step it up. We're living in the last days, folks. The trump's going to sound soon. We've got a job to do. We need to see how folks are doing in their growth in the Lord. We need to check ourselves, examine ourselves as we study the Word of God. Are we growing? But the point is this. Paul had a burden. And he went to Barnabas and said, listen, we need to go on a second missionary trip. Now, think about what that entailed. The first missionary trip was a year and a half long. We're not talking about 2 weeks on the road. We're talking about a year and a half of time away from family, away from all that we know, going to visit. That burden caused him to do extraordinary things, because on this second missionary trip, what's going to happen? They're going to get thrown. They're going to be beaten. They're going to get thrown in prison at Philippi. There's going to be an earthquake. There's going to be all kinds of things that they're going to face on that. But what was the motivation? The motivation was evangelism and discipleship, checking on these people to see how they are what? Doing. How are they doing? Are they growing in the Lord? Are they being strengthened in the Word of God? Verse 41 adds to this thought. Notice, please. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, then this phrase, confirming the churches. Confirming the churches. This particular word could be translated uphold, support, prop up. That's the idea behind it. How many of you have ever watched videos of the Catalan Castells? That's where they all get in a big circle and they start putting them up on their shoulder, and then people go on top of their shoulder and they make these towers of human people, and they lock their arms together. And they just keep climbing until they get that final boy, a young boy. You're going to go up to the top of that. Can you imagine? Making it up to the top of that pile of human flesh all locked together. That's the word confirm. It means to lock arms and to support. To lock arms and to support each other. That's the picture here of confirming the churches. Now, what does it take to lock arms? It means the concern from someone else allows me to get past my own foibles. my own things. Now, we don't compromise our faith, but what we do is that we fellowship with others and brothers and sisters in Christ, and we try to help each other in the growth of the Christian life. And that means that we have to support them. We have to encourage them. That kind of heart, to want to grow and strengthen believers in Christ. That's the kind of heart that Paul and Barnabas and Silas and the other ones that are mentioned there in this particular passage that were a part of this group that would return, hazarding their lives to do so that they could witness of Christ, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and see how they were doing, confirming them, coming alongside, and shoring things up. You know, whenever things get loose in a house, I've seen dozens and dozens of pictures of houses leaning in the past week. North Carolina, church up there along a river, beautiful little creek that was flowing by. Now it's a river. It's all washed out, very deep. It took out the whole back half of the church. And here the church is leaning toward the creek, toward the river. The whole backside, the supports are taken off, and it's starting to lean. What does it need? Well, the pastor of the church was saying, we've got to come in here, and we've got to shore up this church. We've got to rebuild the foundation, and we've got to get it righted. Got to be pushed up. That's the picture of confirm here. Confirming the church, coming along to firm it up, to strengthen the people. That was Paul's work. And you know what I see throughout all these verses? All throughout chapter 15, I see this thread of God at work. God leading. God led in Peter to speak up. God led James to understand what was taking place in the Gentile world. A Jewish pastor in Jerusalem, accepting and understanding what the Holy Spirit was doing in the Gentile realm. He was grasping hold of the message of grace, having to let go of a lot of things that he had learned, right? He was having to let go of a lot of those things and grasp a hold of the truth of God's grace in saving Jews and Gentiles. Confirming, encouraging, discipling, coming alongside and grabbing a hold to strengthen them. That's our role, believers. I would imagine that in your circle of friends, you think about it for just a few moments, that there are people that are struggling right now. Brother Bill mentioned a friend of his that's struggling right now. You know what God's called upon him to do? To mention it to us so we can be praying, so we can kind of get together and circle a prayer around a man that's struggling with all the things that's happened in his life and beginning to question God. Here's where we step up, believers. Here's where we step up and we grab a hold of each other in prayer and we look to the Lord and say, Lord, undertake for this man that needs help. Praying for a life. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Confirming. That's the picture. This is how God leads. Some of you have family members that are lost. What are you doing? Yeah, you're supposed to pray for them, but you're also to be evangelizing them. Evangelizing them. You see how it works? It's when the church steps up and takes the mantle that God has given us, the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's been given to believers. Take up that ministry and go with it. To get concerned about those around us that are without Christ. Some of you have been very good at reaching out in your neighborhoods. Reaching out to those folks that live near you. Going to them, communicating the gospel, talking to them about the Lord. We need to step it up even further. Why? Why did Paul and Silas and Barnabas and John Mark go on a second missionary trip to revisit the churches? Why did they do that? Love for Christ and love for people. Love for Christ first. Why is my love for Christ and His love for me so important. It's a motivational, I don't know how to put it. It's a motivational power that says, God loved me. God sent His Son for me. Make it personal. He redeemed me. What should my response be? My response should be, let's find out where others are that need Christ, and let me be the one to go and share Jesus Christ with them. Let me be the one to encourage them to look to the Lord. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. This, folks, is the ministry of the local church. It always has been. But what are we doing? Many times we're sidetracked. We've got so many things going on in our lives, we just don't have time. You know what we have to do? We have to curtail, and we have to think about what things are really important. Can I set this aside to go minister to somebody in my neighborhood? Can I set this aside to go talk across the fence? A lot of my conversations take place out in the yard. Hey, how you doing? Now, that means we have to step outside our comfort zone. That means that we have to have something greater within us, and that's the love of Christ. Amen? It's not something you have to gin up and manufacture. The love of Christ is real. It changed and transformed your life, and it should change and transform you in such a way where you go and say, I'm going to reach out. I'm going to help this individual. This, folks, is how God leads. He was leading these men that had just met in a consequential meeting about how the gospel was going to go forth. They met together. They had a dispute among them. God set up two mission teams from that, and they were able to go out, and we read about both teams being productive in the work of the Lord. Division that led to multiplication. Reaching out to others. Checking on the churches that had been planted before. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I thank You for Your word today. I pray that You would work today in such a way that we would move outside of our circle of comfort. That we would move outside the norm of our lives. And that we would consider the fact that You've put us here on planet Earth. You've saved us by Your grace. That we might be a witness and testimony to others. That we are to take up that ministry of reconciliation that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5. To share the gospel, the good news. But not only that, but also to disciple others. To encourage them in the word. To strengthen them. To come together with them. To see them grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to prioritize in our lives things that are really important. There are some that are pursuing things with full abandon that will have zero eternal consequences as far as lives reached, lives transformed, help given to those that are nearby, because we're so much in full pursuit of the things we like and the things we love, and we are missing the glorious, glorious purposes and Your leading in our hearts and lives. Father, I pray that You'd encourage us today in Your word. I'm so thankful for this passage of Scripture. I'm so thankful for men that were willing to set aside their own personal ambitions to be used of God in a powerful way to spread the gospel and to discipleship believers, to confirm them, to come alongside and strengthen them. May we be that type of individual, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Close with number 494, please. Number 494. Here am I, Lord, send me. Let's sing that third verse. Let me see my mission field that's around us each day. And as the Lord's love fills our heart, as our pastor says, we can be used of the Lord. Number 494, verse number 3. Let's stand together to sing.
Here am I, Lord.
Father, thank you so much for our fellowship this morning, for the communion around the things of Christ, and then, Lord, for the message from your word. We thank you for this example of Paul and Barnabas, the situation that happened there, but yet, Lord, you know the end from the beginning, your plan and your purpose to continue the furtherance of your gospel and of your word, and the grace that was being told to those in all those areas. And Father, just pray that we'd be sensitive to your moving in our lives as well, and just thank you so much for Christ and all that he's done for us and will continue to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.